But it's a leadership problem, not a lawyer problem.
I'm Jean Lindwall, and I've got a question really that goes to the screening and the, and you know, some of the city review process. First of all, I think it's all been established that the parkways are public right-of-way. So these are going within, they're going on public property. So the prospect of having individual homeowners have to pay for the landscaping of public property to screen the views strikes me as being a little, wrong. And it goes to kind of why or whether or will the city develop not only the landscaping prototypes that will work adjacent to city parks and other things, but why they aren't or haven't developed screening prototypes that work on the parkway locations in front of people's homes. Because, I mean, it is a property value issue, and, the city, it's in the city's best interest to maintain our property tax base, and if you can do that by screening, whatever is in the public right-of-way, it seems that that's a much better approach than leaving it up to individual homeowners who may or may not have the wherewithal to advance the $1,500 landscaping cost. The second, and it kind of related to that, what protections are in place to ensure that the parkway trees aren't damaged during the construction and installation? And finally, within the historic districts that we have in Evanston, were the locations reviewed with the Preservation Commission, which I think, was staff involved in helping to mitigate against adversely impacting the historic district. So it's really, my question really goes to what has city staff done to develop a policy to ensure that the residents and property owners in Evanston are as protected as we can be.
Well, first off, I've been hesitant to develop any kind of a prototype landscaping because I really consider each of these sites very different, as well as the residents who are affected. And I don't want to force somebody to plant something that they're not willing to maintain. So the policy was developed on a reimbursement basis on that thought that we would let each individual resident choose what they wanted to plant, which then I then approve. So if I see something on a plan that I know is not going to work, I will work with that resident to make sure they change the plan to something that is acceptable to them that I know will work.
Wouldn't it be better to have that, like you do with the trees, where you've got certain, or at least did, with a certain species of trees, and you kind of pick, the tree plant. I mean, wouldn't it be better to have three or four options that would work in various situations, or making sure that you're locating the pad so you've got enough clearance so that
we
something
look at
will
the
grow?
The location of the pads to try and get the maximum amount of screening planting area available. At each of these locations we look at, I look at specifically myself to make sure that the trees are not going to be affected by the placement of the pad. Once they go under construction, I've got staff that if there's a potential problem, I work with Public Works and we go out and put them on a fairly regular basis to make sure the trees are not getting injured. But I can definitely look at maybe putting together a list of some shrubs that would work in sunny versus shady locations, give people some kind of guidance.
Wouldn't it be better, since it is public property and the city has the $1,500 to, work, when the homeowner calls you and said, I want it screened, to work with them so that you're putting in, the city's installing the plant material. And why should the homeowners have to maintain the parkway trees and the parkway, and we cut the grass and all that stuff. I think all of us are willing to do that, but why should the homeowners have to do so much?
We are. Because they're not getting paid.
They have AT&T money.
There's labor involved too, right? So it's been $1,500 on plants.
$1,500 include labor though?
Well, they're not paying the citizen an hourly rate, are we?
No, but if you hire a company to do it, labor included in the cost?
Labor's included. I mean, it doesn't matter to me how the people spend the $1,500, whether they want to do it themselves and buy $1,500 worth of plant material, or if they want to hire a firm and get $500 of plant material and spend $1,000 on labor. That makes no difference.
What about the other city oversight?
Pat.
I think I have a hypothetical question. Let's assume that we Evanstonians are typical.
Could you stay a minute?
Let's assume that we Evanstonians are typical, which would mean that all across the country where you're putting in these big, hideous, ugly boxes, everybody feels as we do. That would probably mean that they will leave a meeting such as this angry enough to say, I might not like Comcast very much, but I'm getting Comcast. Which would mean that these boxes are useless because nobody wants them. Might you then think outside the box?
For the city. Now, I think there's something like 99 or 100 boxes go in, but you mentioned that some of these were in places that wouldn't bother people, like in alleys and places like that. So how many of the 99 boxes are problem boxes that are disturbing to the residents? Do you have any idea?
Of the 67 locations that are in or in construction, roughly half of those are in alleys or on adjacent to a city parking lot, a railroad line, you know, some city property that would be limited, or next to an existing box that's already on the parkway. So what we had is 26 are on side yards and 5 were in front yards. And when it's in the front, the attempt is to try to move it down. And remember, too, we didn't talk much about it. There's a lot of stuff on those parkways and sidewalks. So we have to play with natural gas and water and sewer. You know, so it's a jigsaw puzzle.
So if you can't get a location in an alley, because the alley's not wide enough, can you approach a property owner to see if they'll sell you a piece of their property adjacent to the alley, and that would resolve that issue?
I don't believe they're required. I mean, I think they have the right to put it in the public way.
That'd be a nice thing to do.
Yeah, and I heard Mark say that when there was an offer for a free easement, that would be considered if it was timelier, and that's something.
But you need to be notified so that you can.
That's the main problem.
Be timely. One question on the notification. Don't you violate the law if you don't give a notification, and then by default they can't build if there are no notifications being given?
How quickly are the rest of the Kyrie's taken before Kyrie passed?
There's several questions out there. I don't know which one you took out.
I'll answer the gentleman in the rest of the shirt.
We're required, I believe, to give 5 days' notice to the abutting property owner of where the construction is going to be under the city ordinance of Evanston. AT&T and working with the city has also agreed, at their request, to send a letter to those people as well, for fear that the door hanger may blow off or get lost. And we've also notified the people, even though the ordinance doesn't require it, where the land may be disrupted. So if we're doing a bore, a directional bore, or trenching in the parkway to get to the box, we notify those abutting property owners as well. And the same day that the letter goes out is when the door hanger goes as well.
So I've heard here that people haven't received those.
And it would be only to the abutting property owner of where the box is going.
Danielle. Well, I'm a member of Evanston Quaker Meeting. I can tell you we never received a door hanger letter or anything else on this. It was simply installed. And we found it particularly interesting because about a year beforehand, we had requested from the city permission to install a bike rack with water permeable paving so that we would do no damage to the trees. And at the time, the city and Mr. Dalal denied us permission for that because it wasn't a good use of the public right-of-way and it would invade public green space. That happens to be the exact spot where the concrete pad was poured and the box now exists. So I think that the city has given all of us an impression that perhaps their hands aren't quite so tied, or at least they're quite in bed with cooperating with AT&T's needs over the needs of the citizens in this city. I had an interesting experience this week, and this is the heart of my question. While walking the dog, I noticed one of the lovely concrete pads with a lot of piping and conduit hanging loose, clearly a foot trap, not near a city light, so clearly something that's impossible to see when you're getting out of your car and stepping onto that parkway. And because, given the lovely construction that we have going on, there were three AT&T trucks within a block of where this thing was, I asked when they were going to cone and rope it off before somebody caught their feet in this and was killed. And I was told that they had no idea who would do that because it was done by a subcontractor and apparently nobody was responsible. So I called the city and you were out of town, or at least you were not there, and I left a message on Mr. Dalal, and he, I must say, very promptly had someone call and say that they would take care of it right away. And then I called again and again. And 3 days later, in fact, it was coned off. So my question is, what is the city doing to enforce the notification requirements? What is the city doing to protect us from the depredations of AT&T? And I might add, it's still coned off a week later, and nothing else has progressed on that. And again, apparently no one is responsible for that. So now we have not only the finished eyesore, but we get to have the unfinished eyesores too. And I can tell you that if I had a hole dug on my property out on the parkway with a piece of plywood tossed haphazardly over it, or conduit hanging out in the parkway, I bet you guys would be out at my house a lot faster than you've dealt with the AT&T installation. So I would like to know when you're going to start enforcing on these people what you enforce on the citizens.
First, I'd like to address the bike rack issue. That we are coming up with a bike rack program for the city. This is one of the first ones we got to put it on the parkway. And I did, you know, try to get direction from others and what we would do. Since you had room in your property to put bike racks, that was the decision was made, instead of putting it in the parkway, you know, you could put it on your property. And about the cone, are you talking about 704 Sherman? 708 Sherman. Right after we got notice, we went out there, looked at it, and then we notified AT&T that it had to be coned off, and they told us that, you know, it'll be done. So after 2 days, when I found out it hadn't been done, I
had a call two more times, though.
So when I found out, I said,
nobody knew if your office whether it had been done or not.
So I sent an email to AT&T and the contractor saying it doesn't matter whether it's AT&T who is to do it or the contractor. It doesn't matter to the city, you know, whose responsibility that is. Because the contractor comes, he finishes his job, then the AT&T crews follow up. So what I told them, it doesn't matter who does it. If they don't do it, we'll revoke the permits on that. And right after that, you know, they followed up and gone the area. Moving forward, they've agreed that, you know, safety is the, you know, paramount importance. So if there's any safety violation, we will pull the permits.
If I can just add to that too, we've had a meeting with AT&T, I think we have their attention that while we had to permit these in 45 days, and you can imagine the amount of right-of-way work that we already oversee in the city, that they have been good enough to work with us in this regard in trying to stagger the work so that we can keep up with it. If you permit 99 locations and build them all at once, you got a real problem. So So I think in that regard, we've been able to stagger it, but it's still a challenge for us. It really is. And, you know, that way, we have a zero tolerance policy towards that, and we will close those projects down. We did have a good meeting with AT&T, and I think they're gonna follow up with the contractor.
How many of these have you closed down?
If there's a violation, a construction.
Have you closed any down?
Oh, sure, oh, sure.
But it's not permanent, though.
Well, no, it's not permanent until they get it rectified, and typically, you know, with other utilities, when we run into a trend of problems, we sit down with the utility.
What about violation notice? Aren't they in breach?
Breach of?
That's what I asked, never got an answer to that question. Breach of contract? They're required.
Of the ordinance, if you didn't give a notice and you went ahead and started building.
I did before.
Oh, no, and the notice issue's a separate issue. On the construction issue, for instance, a plate isn't rooted in the asphalt, and so it's rattling. We deal with that on a daily basis with other folks, and we get it corrected and they go on. I mean, in terms of the notice, that's a separate question.
How would that be handled? If they didn't give notice, that means they violated their agreement to have 5-day notice. What's the legal recourse?
Construction should be stopped.
Our legal department has indicated that the letter is what's required, and they provide, Reggie, we'll give it to you, in terms of what they provide us in evidence.
They're supposed to mail the letter 1 week in advance to the abutting property owner who's gonna get the VRAD box.
A week in advance.
A week in advance, and it has to be mailed from within the city of Evanston limits. So it, you know, gets there right away. And we get a copy of that letter.
Did you get one for the church?
We do a request and get
who do they call if they want to take legal actions? They say, well, they weren't given notice, this thing started building, now they, you know, there's a breach of contract, they want to, you know,
you give us a call.
Legal recourse.
Give us a call.
Who?
Can I clarify one thing? I don't think we're required under the ordinance to do that. We've agreed to do that. The only thing we're required to do in the ordinance is to put the door hangers out.
So okay, well, the door hangers, fine. If it has not been done, people have legal recourse. They have so who do they contact, the city?
Yeah, you call, you want to write down the number? 847.
What department?
What department?
Public Works.
Public Works, okay.
847-866-2922. Ask for the permit engineer. He goes by the name June, J-H-U-N. Or if he's not around, you can ask for me. My name is Rajiv Dahal. Or you can ask for Ingrid Eckersberg. Just trying to make sure that somebody, you know, if you have somebody to talk to.
So then what do we say?
You didn't get notice.
And you
then we have to follow up on that. We'll have to follow up on with AT&T on that.
We have 4 questions left. We're going to limit it to that. If they could be city-directed questions, and Gay is on the floor.
I want to mention 2 things. I'm a member of the Public Arts Committee, and at first we got all excited about this because in many other cities in the country, utility boxes have been designed by artists and commissioned by the cities, and there's some very interesting, wonderful things that have been done. But we found out that AT&T boxes cannot be painted because they have to be certain colors because we don't want the equipment to overheat, and paint washes off anyway. So that whole question is moot. Too bad. We spent a whole meeting on it. It was very exciting. The other thing is I own a home and I rent a studio in an area where there was a rape and a murder this year. And nobody has brought up the point that these things are 4 feet high, a person can hide behind them, a child can walk out behind them into traffic. They are really an obstruction. I think a dangerous obstruction for that reason.
Question for the city of Evanston again. This 6% revenue sharing agreement, how long was the negotiation process? Who signed it? What revenue are you expecting to generate from this contract? And do you have a similar contract with Comcast?
I absolutely have no knowledge of that. So I can defer and try to get that answer back to you, but that would not be something that our department would.
What department would?
Can I try to answer that?
Please.
We did not negotiate that. That's pursuant to the statute. I'm Steve Russell, the fourth ward alderman. We didn't negotiate that. Steve Bartlebaugh is here. We get a proportionate share of utility tax for our revenues. Much of it runs ECMC. Unfortunately, over the last several years, we've stolen some more of it. And I asked Stephen tonight what the relative numbers were, because if you're talking about 5 plus 1% of gross, which is what this gentleman said tonight, I'm not sure how that dovetails with that.
Probably the same.
What?
It's probably the same.
I think Comcast is 5%.
I'm guessing it's very close to the same.
Comcast is 5%.
It's required under the state statute here in the paper.
We have negotiation rights at all. You know, this was something that came to us pursuant to that ordinance.
Our state legislatures who failed us here.
Yeah.
I think that's important to know. And we should walk with our votes. We should vote with our votes.
Come to the next meeting.
Vote with our votes.
Christians, we have three questions left. Elizabeth.
Okay, this is a comment from the city. I don't have a box in front of my house, but the fact that there's one in front of, you know, your house, you know, that hurts all of us, doesn't it? And the city expects us, and we get from you, and we take care of our property, we care about our property, we paint our garages, we clean our gutters, we make sure that our air conditioning condensers are 10 feet or 10% of our property width, whichever is the lesser, and we screen it, and we consult with our neighbors if there's a conflict with that so they're not affected by that sound. And we shovel our sidewalks, and we mow our parkways. Oh wait, they're not our parkways. We have no say on our parkways. The deal is made between AT&T and the city about what happens in those parkways. I stop mowing the parkways. I stop shoveling the walk. I stop caring. It's disheartening. It's spitting in our face. I just have to tell you that. You expect us to care, and then you do this. And it's just like everything else in this country. You know, we're just getting spit at and stepped on. And I'm just sick of it. That's not a question. I just had to tell you.
I'd just like to say, you know, Paul and I are both residents of the city here, and I can tell you we feel, you know, similar ways, but in terms of what we are trying to do is lessen the impact that we can. I mean, there's constraints here that are very tight in terms of how to do it, and I wish we didn't have those constraints.
Can Elizabeth come tell that to Julie and Jeff on the 16th? They're the ones who need to hear it. Barbara,
I wanted to build on what Jean said, and I had actually sent an email to all of the aldermen before I even knew this group had started. I think, and listening, my idea has evolved a little bit, but I think the city could do a lot to recoup some good PR by the city taking the initiative, designing some really attractive screening for all of the boxes on the parkways. Give people some alternatives. If they want to do it themselves, then the city sends a letter to all of the affected homeowners with drawings of what their options are, and then the city goes and takes the initiative to install that screening, because you know, a lot of people, yes, we shovel our walks, we paint our garages, we do all of those things. You know, and that's one more thing I stopped because, as most of you know, I ride my bike all over the city, and there's one box on Harrison affects me not, except every time I go by it, I thought, how can those people stand it? And it hums. And one day, they were out in their yard, and I stopped, and I said, and they have beautifully landscaped it. According to her, she had to get bids, and they spent more than $1,500. It was a major undertaking for that family. And I think that's totally unreasonable to expect everybody who had, and I don't have a box, thank God. I don't have one, so it's not my own vested interest that I'm speaking to, but you know, I think it's asking too much of people for them to do all of that work. And then, okay, I want to plant this flower, and you say, no, I want, you can't do that, you have to do this.
Right.
Four attractive, four maybe alternatives. You send the letter, and then let them pick it, you do the work, and I think it would help, because you can tell aldermen, city, you know, people are not happy. This would do, be a little baby step in the direction of good PR.
If I could address that, we have been landscaping these in a number of cities, and some cities will ask us to give money, and they do it themselves. Others ask us to do them, so I would be happy to have our landscape architect to work with the city to come up with a list of some of the plant materials that we've used at other locations that have seemed to have worked, and
so why is it taking this public meeting to do something?
It's not. We would be happy to provide this information to the city if they would like. And then the gentleman said earlier, each site is unique, but to the extent we can provide some samples of some landscape drawings, we'd be happy to do that as well.
Two questions.
How many subscribers do you need to make this investment profitable?
I can't answer that question.
Well, can you get us an answer? Because the mood of the city.
Philip, I have one more question for the city from Paul, please.
Sorry.
I was going to make a suggestion that it would be a good PR move if you painted them all dark green instead of a bright color like that, but it sounds like that's not possible. So I'm going to switch to a ridiculous statement, and I've been accused of having a David and Goliath complex, but to me, justice would only be served, and I would only rest if these boxes were required to be removed at yes. your expense for mm-hmm. what you did.
Yes.
Yes. The boxes can be turned over, they can be changed, and I think that should be our goal.
Yes.
Next meeting.
We have one more. That's the next. That's probably. Is there one more person that's dying to speak? Yes.
If nobody in Evanston wanted AT&T phone or cable, would these boxes be necessary? In other words, do they have to come through Evanston to get to Wilmette?
Oh yes.
Huh?
Our entire infrastructure is networked together. So Evanston isn't an island.
You had no customers in Evanston.
There is telephone service, there is cable service available from competitors who do not use boxes. Everybody should be aware of that.
Are you saying that we should not use AT&T service?
I didn't.
I think that you should spread that message around.
I wish you would have done to do.
Share it around other communities.
One other question was, is the infrastructure built for 100% use by Evanston residents of AT&T? In other words, do all 70,000 people, there's enough boxes for every household to be hooked up to AT&T? And was there ever a study done to decide maybe it might only be 50% or 10% or whatever? Or in other words, is it goosed out to the max right off the bat?
The requirement and the state law doesn't require us to serve 100% of the community, of any individual community. We have thresholds that we have to meet on a statewide level and on an exchange level, a telephone exchange level. I want to be clear to emphasize the point that I made earlier. This infrastructure upgrade allows us to provide video equipment, but it also impacts our data and our voice product offerings as well. So we make the upgrade to serve all of the potential customers in Evanston, as well as any of the communities where we're putting the boxes in, to make sure that we reach the penetration levels, but we don't have a threshold of how many each box is gonna serve, or if the box serves 500, we don't make it to serve 200. Every single customer whose phone number runs through those boxes gets processed through that box.
Okay, folks, Joy.
Just a quick thing. I want to understand, do you realize how much people like us resent the way these laws pass? The fact that you have access to our representatives in a way that we can never have. You come with money and all of the influence. Do you understand how much we resent that? That seems to be the trend for our country. all around. We don't have the access. That's very dismaying, but several people have said it. And I think that we should really look at the idea for when corporations do these things, mm-hmm. and our folks that represent us, and I'm not talking about the city, I'm really talking about the state, mm-hmm. and even the federal, where they don't take us into consideration. We have no power. And the only power we have is not to participate. Mm-hmm. I would encourage you to send that message out. Don't participate.
Amen.
Now, maybe it won't affect AT&T, but it will send a message that when these kinds of things happen, this is how people kind of almost civilly disobey.
Folks, it was ambitious to say 9 o'clock. And, you know, I know when we bring a group of 50 people in Evanston together, they're going to talk. So this is not the end. We have another meeting set with our state representatives. And as you well pointed out, really the only way to get rid of these boxes is going to be an act of God. No, actually, the legislature. It's going to take...
Or AT&T, whichever.
Or AT&T, whichever. So the next meeting is right here with Julie Hamus, Beth Coulson, and we hope Jeff Schoenberg. He's not confirmed yet. The other two are confirmed. We'll be here at 7 o'clock, October 16th. I want to thank the representatives from the city of Evanston who've been on a hot seat. And as I said, they're also residents. I also want to thank four members of city council who joined us tonight as residents, sat in the audience with the rest of us. And I thank AT&T representatives for, again, being on the hot seat. We'll see you October 16th.
Watch a segment on CLTV this weekend called Beyond Green. I'm going to cover this because I talk about companies that do good for us, and we're going to talk about this company and what they've done. Beyond Green, CLTV. And that's on Comcast Old.